Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a near daily podcast discussing the news of note in iOS, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS developer based in Herndon, Virginia, and this is show number 8, and today is Monday, August 8th, 2011. The format of Developing Perspective is basically that I'll walk through some links and articles, things that I found interesting, and then move over to a more general discussion towards the end. Don't worry, the show will never be longer than more than 15 minutes, and without further ado, let's get to it. Only a couple of links today, as is often the case on a Monday show, as not much happens over the weekend, but a couple of goodies. First, there's an article talking about how to show to-dos and fix-me's as warnings in Xcode 4. And this is something that I actually now do in all of my projects, which I, for a long time, you know, you always, when you're creating comments in your code, you'll often have a little, you know, //to-do/fix-me, and just, you know, sort of annotate your code that way as a way to kind of put reminders in, things to help, you know, sort of direct you as something that you need to come back to. Or, you know, somewhere that you're cutting a corner and need to replace it later, you know, so you'll throw in a fix-me there. And this is a great little tool. It's basically you add a build phase to your project so that it runs a little bash script to find all of your to-dos and fix-me's and flags them as warnings in the in your main sort of compilation results window. And the advantage of that is you're not going to forget one as easily. If you're like me, you try and never ship anything that it has a warning in it, because almost always, especially with the new LLVM tools and things, warnings are typically an example where I've done something wrong. And at the very least, if it's a warning, what I tend to do is, you know, you find the way to get around it, even if you if you're sure, you've convinced yourself, no, this is actually correct, this is what I want to do. You know, you do the appropriate thing to make the warning go away. So as an example, if for some crazy reason doing an assignment in an if statement, you need to add two sets of parentheses around it to make sure that's to convince the compiler that, no, that's really what I wanted to do, and I didn't mean == there. So that's just a great little tool. This is over on the Deallocated Objects blog by Jake Marsh. It's just a great little thing. Definitely recommend giving that a try in your projects if you're the kind of person who does to-dos and fix-me's like me. There's something that you may have heard of before, but it's a really great little tool that shipped with developer tools in Lion. And basically, it's called the Network Link Conditioner. And the application, the link that I have is to a walkthrough done by Matt Gemmel. But basically, it's a way that you can change your computer to your computer's network connection to simulate a bad or a different network conditions. So, for example, while you're working on your iOS app in the simulator, you can have it, for example, simulate a 3G connection on a lossy network and see how your app sort of responds to that. This is a much more convenient way than a lot of other kind of things that I've seen, where I've seen people who create proxies and firewall rules and things to do redirects with packet loss and all kinds of things. This is, a built by Apple tool that just shows up in your network preferences and lets you play with those types of things. And you can vary huge numbers of operations. You can change the bandwidth, downlink packets drop percentage, downlink delay, uplink bandwidth, packets drop delay, DNS delay, all of those kinds of operations that you may want to play with. And this is especially important for iOS developers, where you're often it's difficult to test your iPhone application on tricky networks. If you live in a place where you have a good 3G network, then that's great, and you want to make sure that it works there. But also, you want to make sure it works in a lossy network, so you can try that now on the simulator and have that work just fine there as well. Another way that place that this comes into play is you can share your network connection with other devices. And so you could also do things like testing how a Wi-Fi iPad, for example, would work when connected to something like a MiFi or one of those portable 3G devices. Is you set up the network link conditioner to be running on your Mac, share the network connection through your Mac, and then you can have your iPad connect to that network, and that way you're going through the conditioner and you can get a sense of how that works. I've often had problems with that in the past, because you can make it, in general on the iPhone, you can make decisions based on, am I on a 3G network, am I on a Wi-Fi network, and you don't necessarily want to make too many decisions about that. But there's some things that you want to change accordingly. And so it's interesting to be able to simulate that environment and have it still report as on Wi-Fi, but act as though it's on 3G. All right. Next, there's just an interesting thing over on the Pragmatic Programmers, and it's they have a post about what they call code katas. And if you're familiar with these, they're kind of an interesting approach. It's something that I've been thinking more and more about getting into. And it's basically an approach of trying to get better at programming in the way that you would get better at almost anything else, where essentially it becomes practice. And the goal is that you're going to be able to do things over and over again in a way that will make you better and better at doing it. And this is a question of building muscle memory. It's a question of getting your mind working in the right way. And so essentially what he has here is he's created a set of, let's see, it's 21 different sort of problems. And the premise is that you would sit down. They don't take too long. It's perhaps maybe half an hour or so. And you just sit down and you just try and do whatever the problem is. So, for example, say like one of his is implement a simple hash-based lookup mechanism and explore its characteristics is the name of that, you know, the problem that he sets. And basically that's, you know, he kind of then has a more deep walkthrough and you kind of walk through it. But the interesting thing about it is the goal is that you would actually do that a couple of times. So, you know, you'd sit down, say, on a Monday morning, you're kind of woozy from the weekend, you're not entirely sure, you know, exactly, it's kind of hard to get into your coding, rather than trying to dive into a project where that code is going to ship, and so you want to make sure you're on your A game. The theory was that you'd sit down and play with this to try and kind of get the juices going. It's something that's familiar. It's a hard problem, but it's not an impossible problem. It's a very well-defined problem that has a very clear solution. So in that sense, it is beneficial. So just something to check out there. All right, I'm going to move over to our more general discussion now. And essentially, the general discussion that I'm going to talk about today is about sort of the term lifestyle business. And this was recently reminded me in last week's Build and Analyze episode, where he linked to a discussion from Matt Hewley. I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, the guy who founded Metafilter. And essentially, what he was talking about there, the whole article is fairly interesting, but the most interesting part, which I will quote, is talking about sort of where he sees his business in the landscape of sort of startups and developers, and sort of where he says, oh, you know, people kind of often dismiss what he does as a lifestyle business and not a startup. And so here I am quoting Matt. I'm okay with this lifestyle business. It's put down for a lot of people, especially in Silicon Valley. I think it's the best thing in the world. You don't have to kill yourself. I've been at startups where I've worked 16 hours a day and didn't get anything out of it. It's stupid. Geeks who know how to program and make things should be able to make a small thing that runs forever and makes $100,000 a year and live off that. I mean, what's wrong with that? It's an awesome goal. And so that's the end of the quote. And I just couldn't agree more. I was kind of struck by how clearly and cleverly he put that together, where it's a thought that I've had many times. And it's something that, as a developer, or especially as an independent, is a decision that you have to make. It's something that you need to decide, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to create something that is ultimately going to be, you know, making you millions and millions of dollars and you're going to turn you into the next mogul? Or are you just trying to live a nice, comfortable, upper-middle-class lifestyle, doing work that you enjoy in a way that doesn't kill you? And if the latter sounds at all good, then a lifestyle business is what you're after. And when I say a lifestyle business, I think usually what it's trying to – the way I think that's easiest to kind of define that is a business that does not use a lot of leverage. So if you're familiar with sort of investing or stockbroking or those types of things, you – have a concept of leverage, which is essentially borrowing. It's where you borrow money and then invest that money to exaggerate your returns. So rather than investing $100 and getting a 10% return, you invest $100,000 and get whatever, you know, get your 10% return on that. The thing that's interesting about leverage is, of course, it's the only way that you can make large sums of money in investing. The average person, you know, in sort of a normal middle-class life, no matter how good their decisions are with investing, you know, say you bought Apple at $80 a share, the thing that's Okay, so at this point, I think you would have quadrupled your money, something like that. But at this point, most middle class people are probably only going to would have invested, maybe $20,000, and so you've gone from your $10,000 or $20,000 to $40,000 to $80,000, which is great. That's a lot of money, but it's not a transformative amount of money. It's not something like, oh goodness, now I can retire to my island in Tahiti. If I'd taken out a second mortgage on my house and put all that in Apple stock, I would have made some good money. Of course, the thing is, if you think that through, the thing that you're really giving up there is control, and you're increasing your risk dramatically. And so that's where, as an independent, what I desire most is to have that independence, to just make my good living. I have kind of budget goals for my business, and I make that for my apps, and I enjoy what I do as a result. It's not something that I'm having to work 20-hour days and work 7 days a week to make happen. It's relatively easy. With a big caveat, it's relatively easy in the App Store to make to make that kind of a living if you just kind of stick at it for a little bit. It didn't take, I've been doing this for almost 3 years, I think, now, and I'm finally in a place where that's what happened. But it's just something that you want to be mindful of and honest with yourself about really what you're trying to do. And if just having a nice, comfortable life, doing what you enjoy sounds good to you, if it's not all about sort of the adrenaline junkie part of being in a startup, then, be fine with that. Own that. Be happy and encouraged that, yeah, that's what I want. And when you get there, enjoy it. It's kind of a tricky thing when you get there. I've kind of been working through that myself recently. But it's definitely something that you want to be mindful of, that, that's what I want. I want to have the easy life and enjoy what I do. So that's just kind of a thought I have about that. It's just interesting. It's something that I've been thinking a lot through recently, just given kind of, okay, where am I going next? What do I want to do? And I think at this point, what I really do want is a lifestyle business. I don't want employees. I don't want all the things that go into those that you need in order to grow, for whatever that means. I mean, if I'm going to grow, it's at a very sort of slow organic pace, and it's just improving an otherwise very comfortable life. So that sounds good to me. All right, that's it for today's show. I hope that's interesting to you. As always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, thoughts, hit me up on Twitter. I'm at @DavidSmith_DAVIDSMITH. If you'll enjoy the show, please rate it in iTunes or let your friends know. Spread the word as we're getting started here. And otherwise, hope you have a good day. Happy coding, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.